times does it seem too good to be true, that God's only Son lived and died just for you. Is it hard to believe that His love's really there? In spite of your sin, He continues to care.
I don't know
what a sinner you are, but I know what a Savior He is.
I don't know
where your feet have taken you, but He's climbed up Calvary's hill. I don't know what kind of words you've spoken. His words were, Father, forgive. I don't know what a sinner you are, but I know what a Savior He is.
So far,
you'll never get back to your place in His heart. Don't you know that He waits for the sound of your prayers? Just whisper His name and you'll find that He's there.
I don't know
what a sinner you are, but I know what a Savior He is.
I don't know
where your feet have taken you, but He's climbed up Calvary's hill. I don't know what kind of words you've spoken. His words were, Father, forgive. I don't know. But I know what a Savior He is. What we are is not what matters, but what He is to us. Who we are is not important, but who we choose to trust.
What a Savior He is. I don't know where your feet have taken you, but He's climbed up Calvary's hill.
I don't know what kind of words you've spoken. His words were, Father, forgive. I don't know. But I know, yes, I know what a Savior He is.
Well, amen. That's a pretty good beginning for the first song, isn't it? Well, praise the Lord. It's been a good week, and I hope God has been good to you and that you have been in your Bible this week. Hope you've spent some time in prayer. Hope you've been thinking about one another, praying for one another. And that's a ministry in itself right there. And so it's always good to come to Wednesday night and to spend time together. I want you to take your Bible tonight, if you would, church, turn to Psalm 137. I hope that you'll allow me tonight to do just a little bit of preventative maintenance. Psalm 137, while you're turning there, let me give you just a quick history. When you turn to Psalm 137, If most of your Bibles, you come to the Psalm and it'll have listed there the Psalm of David, the Psalm of Moses, or Psalm of someone, well, this psalm, you don't see any name there. And it's because most people have no clue at who wrote this psalm, but we do know the time frame that the psalm obviously must have been written in. It was the time frame when Israel went into captivity. Israel went into captivity, Babylonian captivity in this particular case. And I want to pull four verses we're going to read together tonight. If you'd stand with me, I want to read these four verses together. We'll pause at each punctuation mark, Psalm 137, and we're going to read down verses 1 through verse number 4. Pausing at each punctuation mark, let's read aloud together, beginning in verse number 1. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof, and there they carried us away captive, required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Now I want you to go back, if you would, to verse number 2. And there is this will be our text verse. The people of God said that because of the condition that they saw themselves in, because of their surroundings, they said, we hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof, and they refused to sing anymore. They refused to vocalize their heart anymore. They refused to praise God and worship anymore. And I want to take that simple verse right there, and these four verses, I should say, tonight, and I want to preach to you about the strength and security of a song. The strength and security of a song. Listen to me very well, church. When a church loses its song, you might as well call it Ichabod Baptist. And I'm not talking about necessarily having to sit down and write a song. I'm talking about when a church loses its fire for God, its spirit for the Lord, its song in their heart, its joy for the Lord, it becomes Ichabod Baptist. I want to talk to you tonight a little bit, just doing some preventative things tonight to talk to you about the strength and security of a song. Now, Father, tonight is an important night. This night, Lord, you desire us to learn something from these four passages of Scripture, something that your people was able to learn. And yet, Lord, I believe you have this particular truth in store for us tonight. So would you teach us, Holy Ghost of God, as you promised that you would, and we'll give you the glory, the praise for the outcome of this service tonight. In Jesus' wonderful name, I ask it. Amen and amen. You can be seated. You know, in today's world, popular songs will come and go. And the reason they come and go is simply because what will eventually happen is they will saturate the populace. And then what they'll do is they'll exhaust them with repetition. For instance, I was born in the 60s, grew up my teenage years in the 70s. And you know, there are stations today that still play those old songs from the 60s and the 70s. But you know something? They just don't do anything for me anymore. What they did when I was a teenager, why? They're old, they're no good, and plus I'm saved now. And so they don't do anything for me anymore. Now what happens if we're not careful that the things of God, we will forget to look at what God is doing and focus on things that maybe aren't happening like we want them to happen just yet. You see, a song, many times, people get bored with over a period of time because it saturated the populace, and all of a sudden, the repetition of it over and over and over again causes it not to be popular. Think about this. If a song was so popular, then why doesn't a popular hit song on the charts remain at the top of the charts? You ever thought about that? If it was the best song, why does it not remain the best song? If it's so popular, why can't it keep its popularity and transcend all generations? Well, I'll tell you why. It cannot, because simply because people change. You see, today, you play some of those old songs that my wife and I listened to in the 70s, they laugh at that kind of stuff today. Just like Brother and Mrs. Taft, probably in my day, when we listened to some of the songs that you listened to in your day, we probably laughed at those songs. Why? You know why the songs aren't popular and keep their popularity? Because people change. Times change. Songs change. May I say the appetite of people changes. And people are always desiring something new. Can I say to you that songs become old and outdated to most of the modern world today? People want something current. They want something that is that transcends time. They want something that's generational, something that they can identify with. That's the reason most of the kids today, they wouldn't like a lot of the songs. I'm talking about even the worldly kids wouldn't like a lot of the songs back that I was used to in the 70s. But you know, I told you some services ago, I was in a store shopping several months ago, and they were playing on one of those oldie stations one of the songs that I grew up with in the 70s, and before I knew it, I caught myself singing it. And don't you sit there and look at me like, "Preacher, I can't." You've done it too. Okay, you just catch yourself singing something. Why? It was ingrained in you. It was popular to you. It's not popular anymore. Most people today could care less. Now let me say this to you, church. A certain song will become a source of strength and security to many when nothing else in life will. You ever get to a place and something's happened in your life and nobody can say anything that's comforting, but you can go home and you've got that special CD with a song on that CD that you can put on there and play, and it's just something about soothing your spirit. There's just something about that song, the words of that song, the harmonies of that song, the music of that. Listen, I've got some CDs at home where there aren't even any words on it. It's just the music, and the music soothes me. There's something about a song that soothes the heart, soothes the spirit, and brings a person to the place that they need to be. And I'm talking about good Christian music brings them to the place they need to be with God. You know, see, you know, a song has power. And that power is woven into the fabric, either of the music itself or the words and the message of that song. That's why a song can literally grip the soul of an individual. It can grip the spirit of an individual. And by the way, direct them to do things that they ordinarily wouldn't do, good or bad. You see, just as I'm promoting good music, there's also bad music that will promote people to do things that they shouldn't do as well. That's how powerful a song has. You see, that's why it's important to listen to the right kind of music. You know, I went to Mr. Webster, and here's what he said a song is. He said a song is a composition put to music. He said it's a collection of words that characterize a theme, a position, or a feeling about someone or something. Now, with that said, let me go back to our story here in Psalm 137. Israel has been taken into captivity. Now, you know what? We're in 2011, and I still don't see anything fun and exciting about going into captivity, do you? And neither did they. They didn't see anything wonderful about being in bondage. You see, their freedom had been taken away. Their families had been separated. And by the way, some of them probably even lost some of their family members in death during the transition. Their lives, dreams were destroyed. You see, a lot of things weren't turning out as they thought they were going to turn out. Some things weren't happening as they expected them to happen. Maybe some of them lost hope. You see, they were physically and emotionally drained. Their beloved city, Jerusalem, had been ransacked and the temple of God burned. You see, their ability to worship and serve God as they had always done was now assaulted by evil people, and it was taken away from them. You see, they were now being mocked by their captives, and their captives were telling us, "Hey, you're in captivity, but we still want you to sing a song to us. We want you to sing us a song of Zion." And they said, no, don't believe we're going to be doing that. And they took their harps and hung them in the willows. They had no song. They went down, did you see? They went down and sat down by the rivers of Babylon. And you know what they did, folks? They sat down and they meditated on how it used to be. They meditated on things and how things were in the past. But may I say to you, you can sit down all the time you want to and think about how it used to be. But listen, we got to understand, folks, The thing about it is how it used to be, you got to get past that. It's about what it is right now. They were in captivity. They weren't free any longer. And yet the song had departed from them. You see, when Israel looked around and saw their surroundings and conditions, they came to the conclusion, well, I guess this is just the way it's going to be. I guess this is the way it's going to be for the rest of my life. So they hung their harps in the willows and abandoned the songs of Zion and sat by the riverside and just meditating on, boy, how it used to be. Now, you say, preacher, where are you going with this? I need to talk to you about something, okay? We're now 4 months beyond the final, or for that, the final transition period of leadership in our church. You know, we've had some people from our church that have gone and taken ministries, and glory to God for it. They've gone out and taken ministries. We've had some that have gone and taken churches, and some have gone to work in different areas in ministry. And you know what I say to that? Glory to God. Glory to God. I told you during the missions conference, folks, if we don't start reproducing ourselves, we're in trouble. We've got to reproduce ourselves. So listen, we ought to praise God when somebody surrenders to a field and surrenders to the call of God and goes out. We shouldn't be discouraged. Some have gone out into ministry. Some of our good families have moved away for jobs or for other reasons. That's not to cause us to be discouraged. Some families have chosen to relocate their membership, by the way, which is okay. You know, they have the privilege to do that and follow the leadership that they feel God wants them to follow. And you know, that's okay. That's all right. And there should be no ill will from anybody against any folks that decide that they need to find a leadership and leadership to follow. It's okay. But may I say to you tonight, church, for those of us who believe this is the will of God, that we believe that this church is the will of God for our life, we must not look back. I said we must not look back. We must occupy our minds on how, and not occupy our minds on how it used to be, but focus on what Trinity Baptist Church is right now. Now, folks, this ministry, I've been a member of this church 26 years. This ministry has weathered many trials in my 26 years of membership here. And may I say to you, during those 26 years of ministry here, that God has shown His grace each time and strengthened the work here through each challenge that this church has faced through the years. God has a people that He desires to use through this local assembly. And He will sustain us if we refuse to hang up our harps in the willows and sit down by the riverside and meditate on what it used to be. And meditate on the things of how it used to be. Folks, let me tell you something. We got to focus on what it is right now. We can't hang the harps up and quit God. You say, but some of my friends have relocated. I understand that. And some of my friends have relocated too. Just because they were your friends doesn't mean they weren't mine. Hey, I'm just here to tell you tonight, you know what we've got to do? We've got to continue to keep the song of the Lord in our hearts. We've got to continue the song in our lives and not look back and think, well, that's the way it used to be. We've got to look on what it is right now. You see, when the people of God relinquish their song and hang up their harps, the work of God comes to a standstill. Comes to a standstill. May I say to you that God did not lead the membership of Trinity Baptist Church to build this auditorium, this 1,200-seat auditorium, to leave it half empty for the rest of its life. They followed the leadership of God when they built this church, and they built it believing by faith that God was going to fill this church. And may I say to you today that we likewise are going to have to stand up and believe by faith God will fill this church. God will supply the missions money that we need to send more missionaries. God's going to call the people out that need to go and take churches and start churches and reproduce ourselves. God's going to have to do that. You say, what's our part, preacher? Keep singing. That's what your part is. Don't ever hang your harp up. Don't ever find your place sitting by the rivers of Babylon, wondering and meditating, boy, on how it used to be. Hey, I've been here 26 years. I've seen a lot of water go under the bridge. But I don't meditate on what it used to be. I'm meditating right now on what it is. Because this is what it is. We've got to take where God has put us and go from this point forward for the glory of God. Now, here's the message. It's real simple. We're not going to be here long. Take your Bible, go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, if you would please. When the people of God have a song in their life and in their heart, may I say to you, church, number one, that it is a sign of a Holy Spirit-filled church. When a church has a song in their heart, it's a sign of a Holy Ghost-filled church. Ephesians 5, verse number 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled, it said, be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now hang on a minute, I think my King James Bible says singing. And making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Did you notice one of the things that it says is a direct sign of a Spirit-filled person and a Spirit-filled church is their singing? I was out the other day at a restaurant. Went through the line and gave the lady a tract. She said, where's your church? I told her where it is. And she said, this you on here? I said, that's me. She said, y'all still use hymn books? I said, yeah. She said, what time y'all start? Now, you know what she told me? She told me, she said, the church I've been attending, they don't even sing anymore. I said, you mean y'all don't sing? No, no. We don't do any congregational singing. She said, if there is any singing, one person sings and that's it. Nobody else sings. Now listen to me, folks. When the people of God in the church of the living God lose their song, the work of God comes to a standstill. It comes to a standstill when the song is gone. And you listen to me. Tonight, Wednesday night, February, whatever this is, 23rd, 2011, may I say to you tonight that you're looking at a preacher, I ain't hanging my harp up. I ain't hanging it up. I'm going to keep singing for God. I'm going to keep serving for God. Hey, let me tell you something, dear friend. This is not our work. This is God's work. This is God's work. Hey, we need to stay in the will of God for your life. You say, preacher, what if I don't know what the will of God is? Well, find the will of God for your life. Hey, ask Him what the will of God is for your life and then get in it. That's the only way you're going to be happy. Hey, I'm just saying to you that a song is nothing more than a sign of a Holy Ghost-filled church and a Holy Spirit-filled individual. Hey, live your life the way God wants you to live it. It's in the Bible. Let me tell you something. Holy Ghost-filled people don't have any qualms about the Scripture. They believe when God says, this is the way you're to act, this is the way you're to talk, this is the way you're to dress, we accept it. That's just holy, you know what that is? That's just Holy Ghost filled. That's all that is. That's people with a song in their heart. That's people that have not hung up the harp. Now you listen to me, well. Just hang on just a minute, all right? So people who hang their harp up and lose their song, one of the first things to go is any type of separation from the world. When their song goes, their standard goes. You know what? There's a lot of people A lot of people, you can't see it, but you drive down the streets of Arlington, a lot of good Christian people sitting home tonight. If you look real close, the harp's hanging out in the front tree. Yeah, it's hanging out in the front yard. You know why? Because that's usually one of the first things to go. And then giving is another thing that goes. You see, the thing about it is when Israel hung their harp up, they lost their song, and what's the next thing that we read that they did? They sat down. They just sat down, and all they could do was meditate on what it used to be. You see, the thing about it is there's a lot of people at home. A lot of people sit at home tonight, and boy, you go knock on the door, and they'll tell you what they used to do for God. But I'm not concerned about what you used to do. I want to concern about what are you doing right now. Because what you did for God's in the past, what are you doing right now for God? What are you doing right now for the Lord? How many people are you trying to keep out of hell right now? You see, a Holy Spirit-filled church has no qualms with the Bible. Now, you know what does that? A song does. And the song will remain in spite of what other people do. Did you hear me, church? I said the song in a Holy Ghost-filled person will remain regardless of what other people do. Because you know what? It's not about others. It's about the Lord. It's about God using us to minister to others. But may I say to you, the first thing it's about Him, and then He uses you and I to minister to others. Hey, this church, you see this church right here? This don't belong to us. It belongs to God. We just happen to meet here. We just happen to call this Trinity Baptist Church. But you listen to me. The day we hang our harp up, call it Ichabod. Because that's exactly what it'll become. Now, all I'm saying to you, church, is this. Listen, we need to keep our song. Don't you hang your harp up. Don't you hang it up. Listen to me. Daddies, for the sake of your wife and children, don't you hang it up. Don't you hang it up. You say, but preacher, things are hard. Times, I understand that. Don't you think they were as tough for Israel? You understand, when they went into captivity, most of them got separated from their own families. Some of them never saw their children again. You don't think they had it hard? Yeah, they had it hard. Let me tell you something. They had it even worse the day they lost their song. They gave up. I'm just here to tell you, a song is a sign of Holy Spirit control. Take your Bible, go to Acts 16. Let me give you number two. Not only is a song a sign of Holy Spirit control, but number two, a song is a sign of dedication to Jesus Christ. Can I take you to Acts chapter 16 for just a moment and remind you of the story of Paul and Silas in Philippi? When Paul and Silas were in Philippi, they kind of pushed somebody's button and ended up getting thrown in prison. Now you say, well, whose button did they push? Well, thing about it is, God made them push that button because He had something He wanted to do. You see, the thing about it is we think, oh man, if I do this, hey listen, why don't you just go ahead and just do what God tells you to do and stop trying to figure out all the parameters of, well, if I do this, God, or this might happen. If I do this, just go ahead and do it. If God told you to do it, go ahead and do it and let Him figure out all the details. All right? So you know what Paul and Silas did? They just preached the gospel. They just called it like it was. People got upset. They ended up in prison. And you know what? Paul said, well, Silas, it's been a good life. I'm throwing in the towel. We're in prison now. You know, I thought God was a God of His Word. I thought He was going to take me all the way to Rome like He promised that He would, but I guess this is it. I guess the God of the Bible has let us down. Isn't that amazing? That's how most people would think the story would go. But I want to show you some Spirit-filled people. I want to show you a couple of men that did not hang the harp up. Now I want you to look at it in Acts chapter 16 and verse number 25. Are you there? And when they found themselves, I tell you what, go look at verse 24. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them, Paul and Silas, into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. That seems pretty bad. I mean, seems like, boy, you know what? Things aren't going exactly the way I thought. But I want you to look at verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Well, you'd probably pray too, right? If you were thrown in prison. But wait a minute now, they didn't just pray. I think my King James Bible, if I'm looking at it right, says, and they sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. Now, we're not going to go any further other than my saying, verse number 26, when they prayed and they sang, the next thing the Scripture says, and suddenly, something happened. Something happened. You say, what happened? Earthquake came. Busted all the doors open. You say, oh, it's probably their prayer. Well, it might have been, but I think it had something to do with their singing too. Because they were singing praises unto God. Now, can I ask you something? What did they have to sing praise about? They were in stocks. They were in prison. Probably hungry. What did they have to sing about? You see, the thing about it is they didn't look at their conditions. They weren't singing because they were in prison. They were singing because they were saved. They were singing because, you know what? They knew God is God. I'm going to let Him be God. We're here for a reason. He's got a purpose. They said, hey, let's pray. They began to sing. An earthquake came. And listen, you're not going to convince me one second. And when that earthquake came, those doors busted open, Paul said, well, I'm a dog. God is still God. Doors busted open. Now, they could have taken off. Nah, we ain't going nowhere. I'm sure some of them were running by. Hey, come on, guys. Come on. Let's go. We're free. Come on. No. I don't know what God's up to here, but He's up to something. We're going to stay put. You guys can run along. And you know who came to the door? Somebody came to the door that needed the Lord. And he sprung in there and he said, man, I don't know what's going on. I heard you guys praying, heard you guys singing, and I don't know what happened. But after you got finished with that last verse, the ground began to shake and things began to bust open. He said, I don't know what's going on here. What must I do to be saved? They said, well, let's think about this just a minute. Now, I probably wasn't even a pause. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You see, God had a purpose, didn't He? But you know what? They didn't lose their song. You see, I wonder how many people are sitting at home tonight that ought to be in church. I'm talking about good Baptist people. That ought to be in church that's lost their song. And you know what? There's somebody that needed the Lord that they are not where they're supposed to be when they were supposed to be there. Because they hung their harp up. I'm just here to tell you, you know what? A song not only is a sign of Holy Spirit control, but it's a sign of dedication to Jesus Christ. It reflects your love for God, it reflects your faith in God, and it reflects your loyalty to God. Well, you're talking about two loyal men. Hey, had not God already told Paul, listen, my friend, you're heading to Caesar. You're going to Caesar. So you know what? He could get in that prison on the promise of God. Sing, praise God. I don't know when I'm going to Caesar. I'm going, but as for right now, let's just sing praises to God. And you know who heard them? All them other prisoners. I'm sure some of them are sitting in their cell thinking, those idiots. If they know we're in prison, they know we'll probably rot here. Well, they may, but these two men weren't. You see, all I'm saying to you is not only a song will remain in spite of what others do, a song will remain because you are here to please God. That's what you're here for. God wasn't done with these men yet. And may I say to you, Trinity Baptist Church member, He ain't done with you either. He's not done with this church either. You say, when's He going to be done with this church? When you hear the trumpet sound, the archangel shout, then He'll be done. Okay, but until then, He ain't done yet. So you know what we need to do? Keep singing. Keep that song in your heart. In spite of what others do, in spite of anything that's going on, because that song is Holy Spirit control, dedication to Jesus Christ. And let me give you one more. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 69. Turn back, if you would, to Psalm 69. That song is a sign of Holy Spirit control, dedication to Jesus Christ, and I want to say, number 3, thanksgiving to God. You got anything to be thankful for tonight? You know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful that a soul winner 26 years ago from this church came and knocked on my door. That's what I'm thankful for. You know the thing about it, you say, preacher, long time ago, and you could have gone and started a church, you could have gone to the mission field. Hey, listen, I'll just be honest, when I first got called to preach, I thought God wanted me to go to England. Matter of fact, I was starting to prepare to go there because I thought that was God's will. God slammed that door, and I thought, man. I thought God opened some other doors, and I thought, man, Lord, is that a door you wanted me to go through there? And I tried to go through, and He slammed that, and I thought, I guess He just didn't want me to go nowhere. So guess what? I'm here. And can I say to you, you here. And you know what we're going to do? We're not going to hang our harps in the tree. We're not going to sit down by the riverside and think of how it used to be. We're going to consider what it is right now. Psalm 69 and verse 30. Look what it says. The psalmist says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. You see, thanksgiving proves that your faith is real. It shows others. Hey, the thing about it is, when you go through difficulties in life, do your next-door neighbors, do you gripe to them or do you sing to them? You say, I can't sing anything. Well, let me ask you this. Do they hear you out in the front yard griping while you're raking leaves or singing while you're raking leaves? Hey, while you're in the backyard with a little project, do they hear you griping while you're working or singing while you're working? You see, what a song does. Listen, I'm telling you, you show me a believer that's got a song in their heart, I'll show you a believer that's separated, that's a soul winner, that loves God, and you know what, has decided, come what may, I'm still serving Jesus. I'm staying put until God tells me different. It's a thanksgiving to God. It proves that your faith is real. It also, church, displays outwardly the greatness of our God. And it lays everything in the hands of God. Let me read you one passage of Scripture real quick and I'm done. Out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want you to listen to this. 1 Corinthians 12:17 says, if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Here's verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him. You know what Trinity Baptist Church is? A local New Testament body of believers. And guess what we are? We've been put in this church as it pleased Him. So I just found out that when I found out what the will of God was, I thought, okay, this is where I am. And may I say to you that God has the liberty to custom build the church. My wife and I have been looking at homes, lots of homes and more homes. And you understand what I'm saying, Brother O? Lots of homes. And Brother and Mrs. Bishini have been looking at homes and as well. And we looked at one the other day that was a custom built home. Now, what they mean by custom built means it's got all these little trinkets in there. It's got all these special little things that the builder puts in there that identifies him with that home because he's a custom home builder. Can I say to you that Jesus today is a custom church builder? And He builds the church in the custom in which He wants it. So after it's all said and done, if you outlive me, you lay my body right there, can I say to you that I can go to my grave and say, you know what? I've allowed Jesus to custom build the church. I can't build it. And may I say to you, church, you can't build it either. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. You say, well, what are we supposed to be doing? Keep singing. Don't ever hang your harp up. You keep singing with a song in your heart. You keep going after souls. You keep loving people. You keep ministering to the multitudes. You keep helping people out of the miry clay. You know what God will do? He'll build His church. Yeah, He'll build His church. And you know what we'll do? We'll stand back and go, man, isn't God good? And He'll say, yeah, I sure am. But you know what He's looking for? He's looking for submissive people. He's looking for people that won't hang their heart. But would you bow your heads with me tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight, you say, preacher, I know I'm saved.